Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Today, on this fifth Sunday of Great Lent, we remember our righteous mother, Mary of Egypt. When this first started, this shelter in place, because it was during Great Lent, Mary of Egypt was one of the first people that I thought of, one of the first saints I thought of, and I know many people had this same experience. Many people talked about St. Mary of Egypt very early on. As soon as we were told to stay in our homes, not go to church, and not receive the Eucharist. And the reason is this, because in her adult life, we only know of her taking communion two times. That's not to say that she didn't take it more, but of the record that we know of her life, she only took communion two times. One was when she traveled to see the cross. If you don't know the life of Mary of Egypt, it's a great story to read. There's also a video that's out there. You can find the story online just by putting in the life of Mary of Egypt, and for our parishioners, we sent it out as well in an email. So Saint Mary was not a saint originally. She lived a very sinful life, partying, drinking, and singing songs. And not that singing is bad, but you know the songs that are not glorifying to God in their lyrics and what they're singing about. So basically, partying, having sex, singing songs, drinking a lot, and she really truly enjoyed this life. So when she heard about pilgrims going to see the true cross, she traveled there, and even on the way there seduced some of the pilgrims. And then when she went in to venerate the cross, she was stopped. A force wouldn't allow her in, and there was an icon of the Theotokos there, and the Theotokos was basically not allowing her to come and to eat and drink the body and blood of Christ to her condemnation, as we've been warned by St. Paul that we can do, that if we partake unworthily, we can be made sick and we can die, not because disease can be passed through the body and blood of Christ, but because we can take it unworthily. And so she went and she repented and she was allowed in, and she partook of the body and blood of Christ. And then in her repentance, she crossed the Jordan and went and lived in the desert. And she lived there for over 30 years. 17 of those years, she says, were the hardest 17. The hardest years that she was there. And interestingly enough, that's the same amount of time that she spent in her life of debauchery. And then, after being there for quite some time, Elder Zosimos, St. Zosimos, came and found her. He was a very, very holy man, and he'd come to Jerusalem to a monastery. And what they did at that monastery, and this was a common practice in the monasteries around Jerusalem, is after forgiveness vespers, after performing the rite of forgiveness to one another, they went into the desert and stayed there until they came back for Holy Week, for Pascha. And so, like Saint Mary, they too did not partake of the precious body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ every week. And it was a choice that they made, but it was part of an obedience as well. They made the choice to give up their will through being monks, and part of what they did in that monastery was they would go and they would spend that time in solitude and then come back to celebrate Pascha. And so after he crossed the Jordan, he found St. Mary of Egypt, and he learned her story of her great repentance and how God had blessed her with very little food, and she'd lived an ascetic life repenting for her sins. And it's, like I said, it's a wonderful story. I'm not going to go into the whole thing now. But basically what happened is she asked him to bring communion back. And so he came back and brought communion back to her. And then the following year, when he came back, she had reposed. And it was clear that she had reposed immediately after taking communion. And the reason I tell you all this is, first of all, just the great life of repentance that Saint Mary took on herself, that she truly saw her sins. She truly saw the need to repent, and so she did so in a radical way in which most of us will never undertake. But when we see lives like this, we shouldn't go, oh, she's so different from me, there's nothing I can learn from this. But instead, we should say, God, please help me to understand what I can take from this life of your saint. And what we can take from the life of Saint Mary is the recognition of how damaging our sins are, how unhealthy our sins are, and the need to be cured of that through repentance. The need to spend this time of Lent in prayer and in fasting, in giving of alms, in solitude. That's one of the ascetic practices, is being alone, and it's something that I know that we're all learning quite a bit more this Lent. So that we take these and that we learn from St. Mary these things. But the other way in which this story fits so well, as I mentioned thinking of it very early on, is her separation from the Eucharist for all those years. I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, the Eucharist is grace-giving. You know, to be denied the body and blood of Christ is to be denied grace. No, Christ is the one who gives the grace. And he's not confined by anything. There have been many people throughout history, for various reasons, who have been separated from being able to take the Eucharist. As I mentioned in some of my emails, Christianity, and Orthodox Christianity in particular, has been outlawed through so much of our history, by the Romans, by the Muslims, by the non-Orthodox Christians, by the heretics, by Arians and such, by the Soviets. Albania is the only atheist state in history. They destroyed all the churches. They allowed no gatherings whatsoever of Christians. And yet God gave the grace and people continued in their life in Christ. Likewise, these monks chose to not take the Eucharist for all of Lent. In this time of repentance, when the church in her wisdom has given us extra midweek services for our strength, the pre-sanctified divine liturgies, these monks willingly chose to go without that grace because, once again, they live a life that we do not, as people who have not taken these vows. But we now are living a life like theirs in which we don't have that grace, but we do have the grace that our God gives us because he so loves us. And it is that grace that will get us through this present time, these present difficulties. He has gotten us through so much more difficult things than these that we don't even recognize. We look at something like this, and because it's so radically different than anything we've experienced in our lives, we think, oh, how can we ever get through this? Not recognizing that God has gotten us through absolutely everything that has happened in our life up until now. And like Saint Mary recognized the damaging effects of sin in our life, the things that he has gotten us through are things that we do not recognize in the way that she has. We don't know what all he's gotten us through because for our own salvation, we're not able to see the depths of our sins. Because if we were, we would despair because we don't understand. We would have to understand the awesome, amazing grace of God in order to see the depths of our sins and not lose hope. And so God has gotten us through so many things. And you can think about this. You can prayerfully consider those things in life that God has gotten you through and recognize that there are things that you have no idea that God has gotten you through because for your salvation, for our salvation. He has protected you from having that knowledge, so that you would not despair, so that we not despair when we suffer the attacks of the demons and we suffer those things that we don't even know. So like Saint Mary, like Saint Zosimos and the monks with him, and all the monks from those monasteries that willingly refrain from taking the Eucharist, and like everybody who rightfully so refrains from taking the Eucharist unworthily, if they come and they're not prepared for taking the Eucharist, we are not able to take the Eucharist at this point in time, but we know that God is bigger than our shelter-in-place orders. He's bigger than the governments. He's bigger, certainly, than the coronavirus. And he is gracious and loving, and he will give us, like he gave St. Mary and St. Zosimos, the strength to continue to persevere in our repentance as we move towards the resurrection of Christ. To God be the glory, honor, and worship now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.